Hi, how's everybody going, man? We're from Colorado, and you're not. No, you probably are.
Most likely.
Welcome to the Colorado Magic Player Podcast.
That was pretty good. I got to give it to you. I haven't heard quite an intro like that before. We're from Colorado, and you're not. Basically, we're like the Amsterdam of the United States.
Oh,
true,
you go.
True.
Yep, we got recreational stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, you got cookies and you got mints and you got gummy bears and
brown.
You have them and then you don't know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're in Colorado or New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the fun of this place now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's happy. Everybody, yeah. And you know, everybody's getting.
I'm bigger. Not happy though.
Well, everybody's getting fatter.
Are they? Well, is obesity on this? I thought Colorado
was one
of
the states. You got all the fast food things stay open 24 hours and, you know, help these, you know.
The potheads?
Yeah, potheads and
munchies. I thought Colorado was one of the slimmest states.
It is. It still is.
Is it still one of the slimmest states?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much outdoor stuff here.
Right, I mean, you see what they're doing downtown? They're taking Broadway and putting bike lanes in with traffic signals for the bikes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
China.
It's like crazy. No, it's Denver, but, you know, China, Denver, close enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's like they're putting in bike lanes everywhere.
Yeah.
In neighborhoods. You know, it's like, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against them. It's like what does irritate me is when they come out of the bike lane, they got like three across and they're blocking the lane.
Yeah.
And the law states you have to stay within like 8 feet from them or something. So you have to drive right into the other lane to go around them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. It's a nightmare on the backcountry roads too. Like,
oh yeah,
you know,
the small roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially with all the hills, because you never know if somebody's coming up the other side of the hill, and all of a sudden you're in their lane, and it's just like, great.
They just passed a law too recently. I think it was the other day, where women can go topless downtown.
Hmm.
They passed a topless in Denver law.
Well, I'm not so much against that one, but
this last weekend they had a little March parade or whatever, and walk right down 16th Street Mall.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
that. With their titties hanging out.
Yeah, well, good, you know.
Now, some of it's not good.
Well, you know, the ones are down tucked in their socks.
Yeah. All right, now we saw them rolling back up.
We need to talk about magic.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. Yeah, that's what we're here for. And
we're talking about magic?
Yeah, conspiracy came out. Last weekend,
yeah,
the place we hang out at, they had a little draft and looked like they had a blast. I bought three packs and the first pack I got a show and tell, and I was pretty happy about it.
Yeah. You always have the best luck.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, and you got a Dread A, and what was the other one too?
The enchantment lets you draw. Arena, Frickson Arena.
And burgeoning and like all kinds of other stuff. Mm-hmm. Or no, I got the burgeoning.
Yeah,
you got
a bird of paradise.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Huh.
Yeah, some good stuff.
That seems really good.
Yeah, I got the mythic conspiracy card. Your deck can't have basic land cards. Starting hand size is 5. Pretty odd. 5, I don't know why, but you can take cards from outside the game and basic lands and put in it, and those lands tap for any colored mana.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking good.
That and cube is
good thing
be
that's
a
not standard
fun.
Legal.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That would be broken.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I got a pariah, another pariah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think of conspiracy so far?
I like it.
I think it's a great way of kind of changing it up and how magic is played and adding a whole other way of playing draft. Because there's really good draft players, and then there's people that want to be good draft players, and this one makes it kind of fun.
And it's a casuals. Oh, yeah. Like Haven. I mean, like, the cards that are in the set, yeah, because of the unlimited print run aren't going to be $1 million. You know, it's not going to be an Eternal Masters where you open up something and it keeps its value a lot. But it's getting show-and-tells to people that have never really had an opportunity to have a show-and-tell. Berserks to people that have never had a Berserk.
Right.
Who cares? Well, okay, I'm sure there's a lot of people that care that that card is now worth, you know, half of what it was. But
look at a lot of those sets that came out reprinted, those cards regained.
I see, that's the thing they're saying with this one, though, because it's the unlimited print run, that it mm-hmm. won't make much of a difference as far as regaining value.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
do you think whatever. Wizards did it to put key cards into not only the legacy format, but the modern format with Inquisition of Kozilek?
Yeah.
Do you think they did it on purpose because they realized after they did Modern Masters, they're like, maybe we should, you know, kick some more down to the other formats that we don't necessarily support as much as standard.
Yeah. Well, that's been a big complaint about people not being able to get into Legacy because
it costs too much. But let's be honest, that's never going to change until the lands things get figured out, because that is the main
problem. And there's cards that they're still complaining they haven't reprinted, like Damnation. Print the damn thing again.
That probably is coming in the next Modern Masters.
You know what they said that about the last Modern Masters. So, I don't know. I don't think it'll happen myself, but...
Yeah.
They still
need to do the other shock lands that they never printed, you know?
They had all 10. Mm-hmm. You mean fetch lands?
Yeah, fetch lands.
Fetch lands will come in the next standard.
You think?
Yeah.
You think that soon?
Kaldash?
I don't know maybe if it's going to come in Kaldash. I think it might come after that. I think it's a little too soon on the whole fetch thing.
The whole theory is that, you know, potentially it could be Shards of Alara after Kaladesh. That's what people are saying because of the whole Bant Protector thing.
Kaladesh is going to be more artifact-driven.
Yeah.
Artifact.
So something like a Soul Ring, something like a
Mazareth.
The allied swords. That would be cool. That'd be interesting and different.
Yeah.
Red green swords.
Yeah.
Blue black sword. I mean, that could be. Well, that could change up the game a lot.
Reprint Steel Overseer, maybe.
Possible.
I don't know about that card. I think that card is. They realize what they did with that card.
Yeah.
In Affinity and Modern, and
I think they'll stay away from that again. Yeah.
They won't revisit that, but I think. The allied swords would be a good idea because if you see what they're pushing now, it's like, you know, red green werewolves, it's blue black zombies, it's white blue spirits. It would just make sense for them to include
have some swords against that stuff.
Yeah. Kind of like a trump against those type of decks that they're kind of pushing now to just kind of create this equilibrium.
Well, shoot. And I should say that green white humans, too. Holy crap.
Green white humans. There you go. Then everyone's going to have to start packing some enchantment and artifact hate in the main. Mm-hmm. Like we used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
What was the one green that used to destroy all artifacts? Or
Naturalize? Naturalize was...
No, it destroyed all of them. But...
Gosh, that's way back in the day.
Yeah.
The Shatterstorm that's red.
Right, and then you also got Vandal Blast or whatever.
You also had the green one was Crumble.
Destroyed all?
Crumble did one, I think.
Yeah, there was one that did all.
The only things that I can think of through all is like Fracturing Gust and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably around there somewhere. we do have one Kaladesh card so far, that 6-cost sorcery speed spell. That's really cool. The one that you cast it, you choose one or both, and it comes into play, or it makes a copy of a artifact, or it makes a copy of that creature, and then it becomes an artifact as well, or something like that.
So that just tells you that basically Kaladesh is going to be an artifact-driven block.
Yes.
You know, the thing that I kind of was hoping to hear and hoping to see kind of soon would be a return to Lorwyn.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
I think that's one plane that I think when Lorwyn came out, it came out with the Planeswalkers, and it came out and it changed the game permanently. And I think that if they do go back to something like Lorwyn, they really have to introduce a whole new kind of card to the game, whether it's like an Enchant World card or a landscape type card where it changes the entire battlefield for both players.
Well, that's just friggin' Planes Chase.
That would be Planes Chase, but why not put that into a standardized Magic card?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And create and give it like a mana cost.
Why come they never brought back the Vanguard concept and all that?
I think the Vanguard concept led to the Planes Chase concept, and then they said, well, since Planes Chase was so, it was kind of popular when it came out, they created some promo cards for that, and people chased those, and then they came out with that Arch Enemy.
Yeah.
And they were trying to basically... create different kinds of ways of playing Magic.
Yeah.
But when people started like going, oh, Arch Enemy is kind of retarded, like it's not very great, and then, oh, Plane Chases is not very cool unless you have a bunch of people, then you started seeing them do the things during Theros and the set after Theros, Born of the Gods, where
you got
the decks and you could play the challenges, and they were single player, and you could play against Garrick, and then each turn they would do some, or Xenagos, and each turn they would do something like that.
It would be cool for them to build a solitaire.
Like, right, like a solitaire type of deck that you could play your deck against it without having an opponent necessarily. Yeah, so those were very popular. Like, me and Xander really liked those. Yeah. Then they had the Garrick one that came out after.
The little hero cards or something.
Yeah.
And then they did the Garrick one. So they had the Theros, the Born of the Gods, and they did the Garrick one. And those were all really cool and fun. I mean, they're pretty enjoyable. But if they were to create, maybe that's a thing they could do, is give you a dual deck. So let's say, you know, they've already done it before. Let's just say Angels versus Demons. Mm-hmm. So you have Angels versus Demons. And then also combined with that, they could have a solitaire deck that you could play either Angels or Demons against that solitaire deck. So if you don't have a player that as an opponent that you could play Angels and Demons, you could play Angels versus Titans or Angels versus Eldrazi. Like an Eldrazi one would be really cool.
Like maybe just a card that runs the deck for you.
Like a solitaire, right? Yeah. So you just flip a card and it does something.
Yeah, it almost like, yeah. Like an AI.
and it would be like, you could do something really cool like the Eldrazi, since we just were at Zendikar. They could be, you know, okay, now you have to fight this invasion that's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's just up to you. So
what was
just
that one format called Type 10, Type 7, Type something?
Oh, that was, you played with a deck of cards in the middle, Type 4.
Type 4.
And you drew off the top.
Yeah, and you got to play one free spell.
Every turn.
Yep. You didn't have to worry about mana and stuff like that.
Right, that was Type 4.
I played
it
a couple of times. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it.
It was. And there's all different types of ways to play Magic, but I think that would be something cool. And they could also do it where each event deck actually comes with a Planeswalker. So
well,
if you want to reduce,
kind of doing that.
They are doing that, but let's say it's an event deck where, like, something new. Like, let's say if Tezzeret in Kaladesh comes out, they could do, like, Tezzeret, which would bring the price of Tezzeret down, because Tezzeret's probably going to be a $50 card against his opposite. So, like, say something like a red-black Planeswalker
Threading.
Versus a blue-white Tezzeret. Yeah, something like that. And then have either Eldrazi, since we're just in Shadows over Innistrad and Battle from Zendikar, and they seem to be kind of crossing dimensions, these Eldrazi. You could do Eldrazi, or you could do something that goes against artifacts, like, the Phyrexian.
Anything green.
The Phyrexian. You could do a Phyrexian Infect. We have to fight against some Infect guys. Or, you know, something like that. But I think that would be a really cool product that would enable a new person to pick up something for, let's say, $20. They could play it out of the box. They can play with a friend. And if they don't have a person, you know, a friend at that time to play with, then they can solitaire it with two different decks. Yeah. So they could play two different types of games against it and still get the enjoyment out of playing Magic, whether they're playing it by themselves and understanding it that way, or playing with another person.
So a lot of the abilities, they've come and gone and this and that. And, you know, there have been some that they haven't brought back. And I'm just kind of wondering why. Like
flanking.
Persist, flanking. You know,
it's the block. The block defines the mechanics.
Really?
But if they don't bring it back,
persist, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you've got the fairy, the
Glenelendra.
There's all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Glenelendra. Yeah.
You had persist and you had tribal, and then you had planeswalkers that came out in the lore one.
Yeah.
I heard somewhere. They're trying to stay away from, like, true tribal lords. Like, we saw a lot of lords, like, air quotes on that, in Innistrad, but not, like, traditional lords that give all your creatures +1/+1.
Right, 3 mana cost, 2/2s that give all your guys +1/+1.
Yeah, I heard somewhere they're trying to get away from those, like, a lot.
Well, yeah.
Which is kind of cool, because it makes the card a little bit deeper as a lord, because, like, the ones that they printed recently, like, they're not as obvious, but they're just as great, you know.
They are.
Well, Goblin King at one time was a lord, wasn't he?
He still is.
Oh, he still is? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's plus one to all your goblins and haste and stuff like that, right?
No, it's one plus one and then mountain walk, I think.
Okay, well, I'm thinking
about that. Oh, that's Goblin Chieftain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like, I thought
that
Goblin
King did mountain walk, too.
Because I read an article on the Magic website recently talking about all of their, like, past mistakes, I guess, and, like, what they're doing to kind of, you know, fix them and whatnot, and that was something they had brought
like
up.
Like color hosers, like Conversion,
yeah.
And Cormus Bell, and
yeah.
Tsunami, you know, Anarchy, Boil. They're getting away from those type
of one
cards.
Of the,
Choke.
The big things that they were talking about in the future is making cards more complex as you look deeper into them, less up front. And I really think, like, after thinking about it, Eldritch Moon is definitely, like, a set like that. Because there are a lot of cards that I didn't think were anything. And now that I actually start really, like, paying attention to what they do, they really have a lot more value. There's a lot more depth to the card.
Mm-hmm. I think Eldritch Moon was really... That was a hit set. That
yeah.
was really good. Shadows of Innistrad was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. That was pretty good.
Well, and we were talking about it the other day. I think Eldritch Moon did Eldrazi better than Battle for Zendikar, in my opinion. They feel
those
more
pretty
Eldrazi.
Those are pretty friggin' OP cards with all the Annihilator and crap. And...
well, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no
it's
Annihilator.
It's
kind of
weird because...
I know, but I'm just saying.
We were saying in the last podcast how Battle for Zendikar had Eldrazi, but they were colorless.
Yeah.
And then... or generic.
Zendikar itself.
They brought
most
in...
Most recent one.
Oath of the Gatewatch, and they introduced... colorless Eldrazi, so there has to be a colorless to be used to do it or activate them or cast them. So, and I think with Shadows of Innistrad, they kind of introduced the concept of, okay, vampires, werewolves, you know, spirits, that type of thing, colored mana, everything's colored. And then they introduce Eldrazi again, and you have like Eldrazi flavored weird things, vampires and werewolves and stuff. So it's almost like
I guess I'm talking about the Emerge cards.
Emerge is a good mechanic. Yeah, I mean...
like Elder Deep Friend? Like.
Elder Deep Fiend is awesome. Decimator of the Provinces is awesome. There are some really cool... the Griff that you sacrifice and you get to draw a card and it's a flying 3/4. That's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some cool like new mechanics that they did with the whole Emerge type thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's also kind of like they use them sparingly instead of like
going
all,
overboard.
Yeah, all in your face all the
well,
time.
They also took advantage of something that happens anyhow. Like you get cards in your graveyard. Now you have Delirium because you have cards in your graveyard.
Yeah.
Well, but in the past, they kind of balanced the whole graveyard with graveyard hate.
Yeah.
And right now, there's no graveyard hate.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's very bad. And it's not. It's not as.
We need a scavenging ooze.
Yeah, it's not as good as it's been in the past. So right now, playing with cards that go to your graveyard, like I built the standard dredge, and I built it mostly black with some splash green and blue for prized amalgams, but I don't even cast them.
Well, what's the black? Isn't this, I think it's a sorcery, but you remove a creature from the graveyard and you put it...
2/2 zombie in the play,
horror.
They discard a card, and then
you get a
2/2
yeah.
zombie.
Well, there are a few that exile, like...
But it's 1/1. There's not
yeah.
a card like Rest in Peace, or Tormrod's Crypt,
yeah.
or Grafdigger's Cage, or... There's not something that just comes
Which
into play.
Which, I mean, Grafdigger's Cage, the original Innistrad. I mean, there you go.
Right.
Like,
Leyline.
But there's no card that does that.
Yeah.
So... It's almost like Wizards is like, okay, well, we're going to do this graveyard strategy thing, and you can either do Delirium or you can do your standard dredge type thing, or you can, you know, do however you want to do, but your graveyard is now an extension of your hand.
Yep.
And there won't be any hate, so you're basically protected from anything that could hate you out or screw up whatever you want to do.
There's no Bajuka Bog.
Right. There's no Bajuka Bogs either. I mean, that was a big card, you know, Bajuka Bog. You just, oh, okay, well... Play Bajuka Bog, you're exiled.
And
it's
just like,
didn't that pro do that to you when you were doing the Thopter Foundry thing?
Yeah.
Meat, whatever it was.
Oh.
He dropped the Juka
No, he dropped the gargoyle that made it so you couldn't... searching more, or things can come into play, or something like that.
Well, I thought you did Jukebox. No, it wasn't. You could bring the stuff back.
No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen to me, at least. He did something else that it was a gargoyle that stopped me from going off with Thopter Foundry and Sword of the Meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did it on my last activation because I got greedy. So I didn't know he played this card, and this card was like the tech against what I was doing. And I didn't realize that that card was a part of his game plan. So, right. Yeah, he kind of caught me off guard with that. But that's fine. You know, whatever. But going back to Innistrad, yeah, it's kind of interesting how they like build this lore in this realm, and then the next set that ends that block, they totally like destroy it or do something completely different than mm-hmm. what they introduced in the first half.
Yeah.
So it's like 50% is this, and then the other 50% is this. And you're left kind of with these mechanics that don't really like the humans. If there was another set to Innistrad, if it went Shadows yeah. of Innistrad, Eldritch Moon, and then they did like something else, like Emrakul's Revenge or something, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like where they used to do with three sets.
Right.
Yeah.
There would be enough stuff that you could do, oh, well, there's enough spirits now to actually do a cool spirits deck. There's enough werewolves, oh, I could maybe put together a cool werewolf
deck. Yeah, it's not like, all just Bant Coco.
You're right. Instead yeah. of it just being, you know, it's not, you don't have the range or the variance in card selection with just two blocks.
Well, you think that's three. Because this, I mean, I'm pretty sure this block was designed before they even went to the two block system.
You think? So
I'm pretty sure.
No, they made that decision like a couple years ago, and they said that was going to be happening. So
yeah, but how far out do they design sets?
The FFL is supposedly like 3 to 4 years. So we're about where they designed,
because it feels like you're saying, it feels like there should be something else there
in both the Battle and Oath yes. and the Eldritch Moon and Shadows. It does feel like like they kind of crammed it
mm-hmm.
like, okay, well, now that we're doing this, let's just do half here and then half here.
So maybe Kaladesh will be like that first sight of like what it, you know, what it will truly be like on a two block structure, instead of like trying to fit stuff in. I mean, it's something maybe to look out for.
I don't know. I think the one set that they really did a good job with when it came to the whole block and how they transitioned from set to set to set was Mirrodin, mm-hmm. New Phyrexia, and Mirrodin Besiege. Was it? It was Mirrodin.
Mirrodin Besiege and then New Phyrexia.
New Phyrexia, and then it was there was three blocks in that
set. Well, yeah, because New Phyrexia is the last one.
Right.
So it ends with in the milk.
The Phyrexian basically taking over Mirrodin
yeah.
with the oil. So I thought that block, the way they transitioned from beginning to end, like told the whole lore.
Yeah.
Had all the mechanics throughout both all the sets with the proliferate and the infect and everything. I thought that was really like one of the really well done.
Yeah.
I think, and I really love Lorwyn, like we were talking about them going back to Lorwyn, how they'd have to do something really cool because that's the set that introduced Planeswalkers, and Planeswalkers are like the hit right now. So I think that with...
And they were rare cards.
Yeah.
Right, they were rare, not mythics. But but I think it, like in Lorwyn's case, like the Lorwyn set was really good, and then Morningtide and Eveningtide were kind of meh. You know, but Lorwyn was so strong in and on its own.
Hybrid mana.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah, all hybrid stuff.
Well, that came in Eventide and Morningtide, yeah. though. I mean, Lorwyn was just colors, Kithkin and Giants and
well, the fairies. Tribal aspect. Fairies. I mean, tribal is fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's no getting around that. It's
right. It's just
a blast. Like slivers when they came out.
Yeah.
Huge. And it seems like they're doing tribes, but you really have to like read the cards to get the tribe. Like the white green humans, human knight, human soldier, human this, human that, human werewolf, you know, with Duskwatch Recruiter. So they have human in there, but you have to kind of really look
well. And then the best closer. What the best new EDH commander for tribal humans is an angel.
Is it really?
Well, one of the best is Sigarda, you know.
Oh, the new one or the old one?
The new one, giving all your humans hexproof and.
Oh, really? That's a thing? An EDH?
It's a thing.
Yeah. His friend built a Sigarda deck. We came over here and built it. Got some good cards in it.
Yeah.
And he just puts green white humans in it with Sigarda, and that's it.
Yeah, well, you can't target any of the humans, and then you just put boots on Sigarda, and you're just like, deal with it.
Huh.
It's white weenie to the max. I mean, Cyclonic Rift still gets it, but what else? Well, besides board wipes. But
board wipe, Wrath of Gods and stuff, Damnations. Yeah. Yeah, Languish. Those all seem really good against that kind of deck.
Languish especially.
Yeah.
Because you can't even, like, indestructible them. Although, then you've got Eerie Interlude to blink them all, so you're just like, whatever.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's a fun deck. I've played against it several times. There's actually two people that have it now, and it works really well.
So, one of the other things I wanted to talk about, I guess this is a bad segue, but one of the things I want to talk about was...
What would you like to talk about, Jeff?
Yes. Tell us.
Magic getting streamed. And how does it make you feel? Like, do you think games like Hearthstone are doing a better job? Obviously they're doing a better job because daily streamers are getting 30,000 viewers and the Pro Tour gets 18.
Yeah.
So the Pro Tour for Magic is supposed to be the coup de grace for every 3-4 months or so, 3.5 months, mm-hmm. when they do a set. That's supposed to be the pinnacle. Okay, let's see the best players play these decks and play the best play and let's see who wins. So they get about 18 to maybe 20,000 viewers, I'll say. Hearthstone on a daily, like Crypt, gets like 30-plus thousand viewers on Hearthstone. And some of the things that people are saying is it's it's hard to follow the cards.
Yeah.
It's hard to follow, like, who's winning or losing. It's hard to follow if someone's new to the game. They don't understand what the pros are doing, why they're tapping their mana, why they're playing the cards they're playing, any of that stuff. So... one of those streams that actually does a really good job is the Star City Games stream with Cedric Phillips. I mean, they started off kind of, it was a little rocky, but once they got in the swing of doing things, Patrick Sullivan and I think Cedric Phillips are probably the best commentators mm-hmm. for Magic in the game right now.
Well, some of the, because I watch Commander Versus and at Star City, and those people do that, they seem to do a very clean job.
Well, yeah, and they tell you what's happening.
Yeah, and they show the card on the side, uh-huh. and they talk about the cards. And if they make a mistake, what's really great is people that follow or whatever will say, hey, you made a mistake, and they'll back up and say, oh, yeah, you're right, we did do this and that, and they fix it right there. Or the next episode, they'll talk about the mistakes they did.
Yeah.
So they're not perfect, and everybody makes mistakes. You see pros make mistakes all the time, you know?
Okay, so...
But what I'm saying is Star City seems to do a very good job.
Yeah.
And when the live stream is going on, it is hard to follow. The camera angles and stuff, and the car able to see the cards, and the guy is doing the...
Flicking?
The flicking. He's like... Play a card already, you know? You're sitting there waiting for this guy to flick and look at his cards 20 times and finally
that's him getting in the zone. Like, he doesn't want something. Whichever player it is, they all have their own little thing that they probably do to prepare themselves for the game. Right. I mean, they're trying to win. Obviously, they're being watched and whatever, but they are focused on that game. So, yeah. I mean, I don't fault them for anything like
that. No, I don't fault them, but it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the thing. And they want people to watch.
Well, and like he just said, Magic is a hard game to watch if you do not know what is going on. Whereas Hearthstone, it's got the funny animation. It's got the funny little things.
Well, you can see kind of like in Hearthstone, or Hearthstone, you can actually just watch the stream and go, oh, that guy's got more stuff on the board. Like, he's ahead. There's a clear thing that says...
Whereas in Magic, that's not...
That's not necessarily how it works.
I've seen it where the cards they have on the table go off... the edge of the screen, and you don't even see some of those cards.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at it going, okay, what's he going to do? And all of a sudden something happens. You go, well, he tapped something over there. What did he tap? Because you weren't there to see him put that card down or whatever.
And
they need to work on it.
They need to work on that, sure. But the thing that kind of gets me is if you watch Hearthstone plays really clean. You can watch it cleanly, and you can get it really quickly.
Yeah.
Hearthstone's been around for 4 or 5 years. I'm getting not even that.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
At most 4. Probably 3 years. Magic's been around for 20.
I think we're going on 23, 24.
23 or 24 years.
Yeah. From the Vault 20, when did that come out?
Okay. And Magic. And MTGO has been online longer than Hearthstone. And why is Magic getting crushed in that department?
Yeah. maybe
that's the question,
maybe Magic,
right?
Maybe Magic players are out playing Magic, where you can play Hearthstone from any computer.
But there's a lot of people that are grinding right now. They grind on MTGO and they grind and
well, yeah, but MTGO is just.
I can't sit there and watch that. No, it is hard to watch.
We've talked about this many times at like Collectomania, just talking between me and the shop owner, like it feels like a website that is like 20 years old.
Uh huh.
Compared to
Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with Wizards and the amount of money that they're making off Magic and the way that they're trying to spread coverage, don't you think it would behoove them to invest in how they do things?
What they should do is just start over. Like, keep the old one for a little bit, start a new one, like, build an entirely new system. Because I think that might be what might be holding them back, is, like, not, like, building from the system that they already have, when they should realize that it's probably just flawed anyway.
Look what Pokemon does.
That's true, too. That's a good point.
Pokemon is taking an actual character, a creature you summoned, and fights another creature. And shows the battle. Maybe that's something.
Well, not only that, but in the card game, those codes, I didn't know. I don't play a whole lot of Pokemon, but there are code cards in that pack that you can redeem your cards online. So you buy the cards online when you buy the cards in real life. Like, that's huge. Like, you're not spending money on digital crap.
They're not double dipping on you.
Exactly.
Whereas in Magic, you're getting double dipped on.
Yep.
Well, didn't MTGO at one time, if you got and you bought enough and you got a set, you could trade it in and they would send
you can it. Still do that. Redemption.
But it's cost a lot more than it did when they first did it.
Yeah, but it's and you can people, still do that.
I understand you still do it, but at a completely different cost. It's like three times what it cost before or something like that.
Well, what do they do? What do you guys think? What would be a good suggestion? I mean, they can't just start over. Because think about it this way.
I think they could.
Look at the last Pro Tour. And I was talking to my buddy Kendrick about this. And he brought up an interesting point. He said, okay, the last Pro Tour was in Australia. Mm-hmm. It comes on at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the stream ends at like 11 or something in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get up here to watch the stream, you only catch a little bit of the stream.
Yeah.
Then when they end the stream in Australia, they don't replay the stream. When you go to Star City Games every weekend, no matter when you get on, they will keep replaying matches that they have televised until they start up again the next day. Hmm. There's no problems with them doing that. They just, it says we'll replay or restart in 12 hours or whatever.
Right.
And they just keep replaying all these streams from all these matches that they went through. When Wizards stops their stream from the Pro Tour, the stream stops, and they don't replay it.
Well, that's because they're depending on places like Star City Games to have it. And,
but they're not replaying the Pro Tour stream.
And during the matches, when there's no matches going on and they're setting up for the next round, you're waiting 15, 20 minutes.
Well, they started doing something different where they go, like, they send Brian David Marshall out into the crowd with a camera in the air, and they kind of follow him, and he goes around to certain matches, matches that aren't being featured, kind of turns him into a somewhat featured kind of match until the round ends. That, and they do the deck techs, which is kind of cool, because then you get to see the reason why these guys built these decks, the cards that they like, what cards come in against the matchups and everything.
Yeah, I just watched like 2 weekends ago, and it's just like they were going 15-minute, you just watch the screen countdown.
It does. They did kind of do a weird type of thing like that. And Star City is known to do that too every now and then, where it'll cut to a time down screen and it'll also say, hey, we'll be back in like 6 minutes. And it just does this timer countdown, which is fine.
I don't think so.
They could
fill it with something.
Jeez. Well, they could probably fill it with something, like a replay or something.
Yeah.
But
like top plays, but, top decks.
But we're not, but seeing Star City Games do something like that and keep the replay going through the weekend until it starts up again the next day for top 8 or day 2 or whatever. I think Wizards needs to keep that Pro Tour playing through, so when it ends, they immediately hit, okay, guess what? They recorded them all. All they need to do is say, okay, loop. And then at the bottom, put a little timer saying, we'll be back at 2 in the morning in America time, or Central time, or Pacific time, or Atlanta, whatever, Eastern time. And then That way you know when you're watching the stream, okay, well, this is when it's going to come back on. But at least, hey, if I got to sleep and I got to get up at like 9 and then I can catch a little bit of the end, then I can immediately watch it from the beginning and I only have to watch till like 6 and then I get the whole Pro Tour. I don't miss anything. You don't miss the deck tech. You don't miss any of the stuff that's said, the interviews. You don't miss any of that kind of cool, fun stuff that they kind of do. And then when you go back after 2 weeks and they post it to YouTube, then you're like, well, this kind of sucks because you're like watching segment. It's not segment. It's not a production now. Now it's just segments. And you got to choose the right segment to watch if you want to watch the Pro Tour. And then you're like, well, let's see what everyone's playing. Well, I want to see this deck. And then you go and find the segment. Well, why don't they just replay the damn Pro Tour and keep it looping until they restart it again, like Star City does?
Well, back in the day, okay, when you used to have the big events, even for pre-releases and stuff, and Magic the Gathering was putting those on. Mm-hmm. And then even way before that, when ESPN2 was televising tournaments and monies being awarded was a lot higher back then.
It was.
Okay, you've got to think about the economy back then and the money they were dishing out, and they were still making a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dishing out a lot of money anymore.
No,
they're not paying the judges evidently like they were. They're not giving.
I thought they had to pay the judges an hourly wage, but it wasn't the judge.
Something.
But it's not Wizards that's paying them. It's the event organizer.
Yeah, right. Their own thing.
So Channel Fireball or Cascade Games.
Their excuse was, we're going to give it to the LGSs and let them put these things on so they can make more money. I don't see them making that money that they thought they were going to make. I just there's money from way back when, and they're dishing out all this money. Price pools of, you know, $200,000 and stuff. And now you go win a Pro Tour where you win like $7,000 or something.
Pro Tour, I think, is... is it 40? I think it might be 40.
Really? I see the checks. It's like 10 grand.
No, I think it's 40,000.
It might be a 40,000 pool, but the winner only gets,
Is it 20? It might be 20, 10. 20,000 and 10 to second. I thought it was 40. Maybe it's the world championship.
Someone's making a shitload of money somewhere.
Yeah? Well, it's Wizards. Or Hasbro.
Yeah, I was going to say it's... Yeah.
It's Hasbro.
So they got less overhead now.
So why can't they take that money and put it into the production?
Right. Because, I mean, ESPN, too.
And everyone's been complaining about it. And everyone's been complaining about MTGO forever.
Oh. Yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, just look at Hearthstone. Hearthstone came along... They really mirrored and basically created a digital game that's like Magic, and they fixed mana. They fixed a lot of like weird things that people have a hard time understanding, like attack phase and combat. Now you just do whatever you want in Hearthstone, and that's the way kind of I think Magic should have been.
Well, you look at these championships for League of Legends and Dodo,
and
all that stuff. That's a lot of money they're giving these teams.
Well, that's all
this.
Sponsorship.
And that's
video games. Yeah, a lot of sponsorships. And I know
there's sponsorships in Magic.
Look how professional that stuff is done.
But there's sponsorships in Magic. Look at Channel Fireball. Look at Star City Games. Look at Troll and Toad. Look at Haruya. Look at all these like sponsorships. I mean, the guys are wearing these shirts from these places.
Mm-hmm.
They're sponsoring them by speculation.
Yeah, but there's no like Chevrolet or Ford.
No, there's nothing major like that. But let's face it, Star City Games isn't necessarily a small derpy company.
No.
Channel Fireball is not a small derpy company.
TCG
player, that's not a small derpy company. I mean, that's they're an entity. They exist and they do pretty damn good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that Wizards won't put the money in to promote it as much as they possibly can?
Because the money just keeps coming in and they don't have to do anything.
Well,
they just gotta make cards.
But you know what?
They pay for research and development, and they print cards and they collect money.
But I don't know. I just really wish that they would do something with the coverage and look at what Star City Games is doing and kind of try and not emulate it to a T. But just replay the damn Pro Tour. If it's on in a weird time, like if you're doing it in Japan and we're like a day behind or so many hours behind, whatever the difference is, I mean, just loop it. Loop it so people can watch it from beginning to end as it is the event that is culminating this new set release that everybody's excited
for. It seems
for.
Pretty straightforward and obvious.
Yeah, just loop the damn event and maybe do a little bit of work on like some of the commentating and stuff. I mean, Randy Buehler just retired from doing the commentating. He was a great commentator. LSV is a great commentator. BDM is pretty good commentating. I mean, they have Marshall Sutcliffe's is good. I mean, they have some good commentators, but when you look at
Frank,
like what
there was that Frank Lagore,
Frank Lepore,
yeah, he was doing it today and it was okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, does more streaming type stuff. I don't think if commentating is more his gig, but streaming. But if you look at people like
Patrick about that, but he was doing one of the streaming.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you look at like Patrick Sullivan and Cedric Phillips, I think those two guys are like the top notch, like hands down best commentators for Magic as it's being played, as they can break down the cards, tell you what they do, tell you the application and stuff as the game is being played, and you really get a lot from Patrick Sullivan and Cedric.
And they throw
Phillips.
In their two cents when it comes to certain cards. Says, why aren't they playing that?
Right.
And you go, and they make good points.
And they both make great points, and they both bounce off each other. It's very natural feeling. I just think those two guys are like the best in the business. I think Cedric and Patrick Sullivan are just awesome.
Know, it would be a shame, but it would probably shake things up if all of a sudden popularity of Magic just kind of went silent for a while. You know what I'm saying? It would really hurt the LGSs and stuff like that, and I wouldn't want to see that happen.
Right.
But what if everybody just says, you know, we're done with it?
Well, people have been doing that more and more lately. Remember, we had a podcast a couple of podcasts ago where we talked about what brings new players in and why do they leave? Like, they leave because they get frustrated with it.
New players keep coming in. That's the thing.
Well, if that's what Wizards' thing is to bring new players in and then watch them leave, like, 5 months, 6 months later, then...
You love playing Magic, okay? And you have no one to play Magic with. You're going to go find someone to play Magic with.
Right.
And I've been doing that at work. I've been finding old players. You know, these guys said, I used to play Legacy way back in the day.
Rediscovering.
Yeah, and I go, the rules have changed. You know? Really? Yeah, so you kind of reintroduce them to it. And they go, oh, that sounds really cool. You know, and one of my daughter's boss's husband, he quit when he was in high school. But yeah, he played all. He said he played like crazy. But, you know, he got married and this and that. And that's another thing. People get married.
Life changes.
Yeah.
Who's the other Nick guy that hangs out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his wife's going to have a baby in like 3 weeks. And he says,
I'm going to be gone for a while, guys. It's just like...
He's saying, like, a couple of years, I won't be playing any Magic. I'll put stuff away, and maybe after a couple of years, I might come back and play. But
I don't think that's necessarily fair to him, though.
I think he'll come back and play every once in a while.
Yeah, if, you know, just because he goes off to see mom or something, maybe. Yeah.
Just because he has a kid or just because someone gets married doesn't mean that Magic has to stop.
You still
got to
have your relaxed time, yeah.
A company is making a product. They're making a good
chunk of change. They sure are selling it.
And they don't have to really do that much. And the money just keeps coming in. So why should they change? That's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
If something drastically happened,
they would want to save the product, obviously.
Right.
Maybe they would start putting some more money into streaming, more money into the championship prize pools, some things like that. Paying the judges better. Who knows?
But well, they supposedly
as long as they
took...
keep bringing in the money, they're not going
to
change.
Well, they supposedly, when they took some money out of the Pro Tour and the Grand Prix and all that. They say they put that money towards the World Championship. So that the people that go represent...
Why did they need to do that? That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There should have been other money for that.
Yes,
really.
Yes.
Right. But it's going to the World Championship where the people are playing for their countries. I don't think it's going to the World Championship for the players.
Is that
World
team
Championship,
thing, the three-player.
Right, it's the three-player team.
That's fun to watch.
That's
like
amazing. Actually, I wish they would do the World Championship not once a year, but twice a year.
Well, I wish they would do those events.
Oh, World Championship events?
No, just the team events like they do, the three-player team.
They
events.
Do every now and then.
Do they?
You'll catch them every now and then where they do the three-player. Like most of the time, it's a limited format where you do limited.
Yeah.
And you travel as three players to somewhere.
And then the three teams can't have similar cards or they can't play the same cards. I forget what...
I don't know about that, but they have to build three decks.
I think you're mixing in Commander there.
No, I thought they would...
No, that's constructed. when they do constructed standard, yeah, they can't play the same color card in two different decks. Yeah. So, but in limited, you can play. You just build three decks,
right?
Uh-huh.
And then you
I think
build.
That was right. They built the decks,
right?
When,
right.
They
so,
showed the cards they shared and what they had to do and make the decks.
Right. Yeah. So, I think that's a lot of fun. I like the World Championship, Worlds Championships. Then you have the World Championship, which is the top 16 or 18 players in Magic that duke it out for first place. I really actually enjoy that, too, a lot. Like, I think that's really cool, too. So maybe that's the other kind of, like, Worlds thing,
yeah.
I guess you could say.
And you see Finch and some of these guys that just they come back and play, and they do good. And been,
Finch?
Or,
Finkel?
Finkel.
Yeah, John Finkel.
Yeah, he's still, you know, he'll come back and surprise people.
Crushing people. Yeah. Well, look at LSV. Like, he hasn't made a top eight in forever. In the last, what, four Pro Tours, he's top eighted, like, every single one. That's they said that in itself is, like, an amazing feat. So if he wasn't in the Pro Tour, just because he did that, he would probably be reintroduced to the Pro Tour again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is just amazing. But you look at some of those top players, like LSV, and you look at... I personally am a big fan of Paul Rietzel. I like Tomohiro Saito. Mm-hmm. You know, I like... I like Reed Duke.
Yeah.
I think he's really cool. I like Owen, too. Owen's awesome.
Yeah.
Huey's awesome. The Peach Grove. I really like Seth Manfield a lot. I think he gets kind of a little bit of hate. I don't know why, but that guy, he's the best. He's the best Magic player in Magic right now. I mean, Owen, I think, is number one, and I think Seth's number two. But, you know, Seth has the World Championship, so he's the champion until someone else wins it. He is the best player.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the rankings are. He's the best player until that new World Championship is done. So, I know, I'm excited for that. That's coming up, and I'm excited for Worlds, where the countries play each other.
And you know, I really do like the pro tournaments after each release.
I do, too. I like that, too.
You know, like this last one, I bought some cards thinking, this is a quirky card. Someone's going to abuse it. Didn't happen, but it kind of...
It's fun to speculate.
It's fun to speculate,
right.
Really. You know, you're buying some little, you know, $1.50 cards or whatever, and you buy, you know, a couple dozen of them, and you go, okay, well, it does... Just one pro is going to just go crazy.
Well, it's kind of funny that the Eldritch Moon Pro Tour, the lore was the final. It's Liliana against Emrakul.
Yeah, that was...
Right? So it's kind of interesting how the lore ended up working itself into the actual final.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Bant Coco in the freaking final that isn't really... I mean, it's part of the lore, but it's not... You know, when someone goes, hey, what's Eldritch Moon all about? Okay, so Emrakul comes in and is, like, messing everything up, and Liliana's just not having it. So she summons all these zombies and, like, just makes them all attack Emrakul. And she takes down Emrakul with the help of, like, Tamio, who's also on the plane, and they imprison Emrakul in the moon. And it's just totally cool because
it's
Liliana...
It's a good card, too.
Yeah, it blew a ring. And puts basically Emrakul in the moon... And you're like, wow, that sounds really cool. And then they went to the final, and it was Liliana against Emrakul. And it was just kind of interesting how that ended up, like, coming to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's really cool. You know, think about the lore. Think about Magic lore and what these world builders create.
Yeah.
And the lore and how the art matches the lore and the flavor text and the cards and the mechanics. There's no reason why... Hollywood can't produce a movie. I mean, there is endless lores.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's Lorwyn or Innistrad or Ravnica.
And it doesn't have to be Jace.
And it doesn't have to be just centered around Jace walking around being emo and shopping at Hot Topic and thinking about things like, oh, I don't know what the big spaghetti monster up in the sky is doing. What is happening here? And Liliana's like, oh, I know what's going down and I'm going to attack this. And Tamio. And Jace is just walking around like a derp. You know what I mean? Like, there is so much lore built in the wizard and into the Magic product. They could do movies upon movies upon movies. And with the technology...
They should just do animated movies.
Oh, yeah, they could even just do that. Get some cool, like, Japanese animation people together and be like, we're going to pay you this much money. Create, like, cool Japanese animation.
Let's do Lorwyn.
Boom. Or Innistrad.
Yeah.
I think Innistrad would be huge because everybody looks...
Weatherlight.
Yeah,
it'd be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, anything, they could totally just kill it, and it just seems like that
a wasted opportunity. Almost,
yeah, it's a wasted opportunity where It's untapped. Nobody's done it until Star City Games. I bet you Star City Games is probably thinking about doing something like that. Go, oh, we could, you know, well, let's see if maybe we could do.
I'm sure the licensing and everything has a lot to do.
Yeah, but I don't think Wizards would have a problem, because then they'd be like, oh, it failed. Oh, that's on Star City. That's not on us. That's not. They're just reflecting our product, but I mean, it's not really us. We didn't do it. It's just, you know, that would be on Star Cities then, or Channel Fireball.
Look how long it took to make World of Warcraft movie. They were talking about that movie since World of Warcraft came out.
Wow.
And what? How many years has that been? Like 12 years?
Yeah.
More than that.
I'm just hoping that if and when they do this Magic movie, that they do it right, and they do it with the correct lore, and they follow. You know, these world builders could literally be like the advisors on the movie. They could be like, okay, what are your world? Who created this world? All right, we're going to have all these guys as advisors.
Well, you even look at the book that they released for Zendikar. I mean,
yeah,
that
writes the movie.
Yeah,
that just writes the movie. And, now we just need storyboard it,
and they could do a series of them.
Well, Zendikar itself, going just thinking about that, would make a great movie.
Yeah,
like
think about that on a movie screen: Ulamog and Kozilek. How epic would that be?
And
like, you see these giant Eldrazi, and you're just like, whoa,
what
those are
hell?
Big.
Aliens
and,
are attacking.
And they are walking through the land, and everything is either dying or getting distorted. That is awesome. And then you see these planeswalkers, and they're basically like the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they're fighting the Eldrazi. The scene could last an hour long. It could be an epic battle scene with Kozilek and Ulamog fighting these five, six planeswalkers, if they so choose, and them just kind of using their magic and their spells, and the Eldrazi are summoning all their spawns to attack, and
you
all
know,
their reality
I'll
smasher.
Bet you, I'll bet you anything, there would be problems when it comes to some of the lore versus like goblins and orcs, and because there have already been in movies, they've already. So, is there some kind of a patent rules or
no,
something?
No, there's just creature types.
I understand that, but I just wonder if that's maybe.
They're all over the place. Like, I don't think any of those are necessarily like, yeah.
They're not going to take the Warcraft chieftain, the bad
no,
guy,
no, no.
and say, that's Goblin King, and then put him right over to magic. They obviously wouldn't do that.
It's not like a Xenomorph from Alien. Like, that's obviously got its own, like, thing. You can't take that out of somewhere. But
that's
an orc is an orc is an orc.
Right.
Right.
An orc
right.
could be described or
well,
conscripted
in
as
a lot of games there's orcs. There's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
EverQuest, World of Warcraft.
Sure.
You know,
it's just lore. But if they got the right
even
person
the rings.
If they got the right person, and technically the cards kind of storyboard what's going on.
Well, they have the story.
They have
like
it's already
there.
Written.
Yeah.
Everything's written. So let's just say the movie's written. It just needs to be storyboarded and laid out. Okay, well now what do the cards do? And then how do these fit into the time sequence of the lore? And kind of do it like that. Like that's what they do with these comic book movies. The movie's already written for the most part.
Yeah,
Doctor Strange coming out? It's Doctor Strange number one.
But they still vary from the
sure, absolutely.
I mean,
they got
to
make
supposed
it.
To be, hopefully,
friendly.
They're going to make another Spawn. You know, I'd really like to see another Spawn movie. But
I'd like to see that Michael J. Smith or Michael Jai Smith as Spawn again too. He was awesome.
Oh yeah.
He was great. The first one, I thought he did a fantastic job. That guy's awesome, and he's super good at jujitsu and kung fu.
Right,
he does MMA.
But
stuff.
If you look at the comics and the things that happened in comics and with Hell and all the people and then capturing superhumans and
Violator. The clown.
Well, yeah, but they had like, if you read the comics, you'll see where he goes back and he sees like the Flash stuck in this cage, and they use a way to trap him. He can't get out. And they got all these superheroes trapped, and it's, you know, it's kind of amazing what they did. But can they make a movie like that? You know,
I think
a lot
right
of those
now
movies vary. I really didn't care for the second Fantastic Four. I thought they varied from
care
the
for
actual
any Fantastic Four.
The creation. From the first one was more close to the comic. The second one, the way they created
with the
fit,
Silver Surfer.
Well, before that, when they how they were created.
Well, that was the second one.
That was the second one. Silver Surfer was
I'm
the second.
I'm talking about this newest one. Came
oh, the
out.
New
oh,
Sony.
They rewrote
gosh, no.
how they became what they were.
That
was terrible.
That pile of trash. That no.
It was horrendous. And yeah. Well, look at Spider-Man. So the first three Spider-Mans weren't too bad with Tobey Maguire. Then they redo them.
Yeah.
And they give you this English actor. And that didn't necessarily fly over too well. I mean, I liked them. I thought they were entertaining. Right. And then now Marvel's like, okay, like, you guys have had two shots at this. Now we'll just take over Spider-Man. So they're going to release a Spider-Man movie, but they're not going to do, like, another origin movie.
Oh, thank God, though.
They're they said, basically, they're just going to... They've introduced Spider-Man enough times.
Yeah.
If you don't know Spider-Man, they'll probably do it in... He's in Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War.
All they would need is like a 10-second little thing. Like, yeah. This is what Spider-Man
did. In the credits at the beginning of the movie. They do it like they do in Deadpool, where the guys are flipping around and they just did all this stuff.
Exactly.
They could do the entire story there and then boom, something cool like the Sinister Six. Yep.
When Wolverine, the origin of Wolverine, that movie came out, they built Deadpool.
Well, they did that totally wrong, though. I mean,
they screwed
his head off and everything.
If that part was out of that movie, I think our Wolverine Origins would have been a decent movie.
A better movie.
Great. Yeah. But with the whole Deadpool thing, it just kind of...
They bastardized Deadpool. And I think the new Deadpool, though, is one of my favorite movies.
Oh,
I love the new
Deadpool. It's funny.
They use the same actor.
Uh-huh.
Well, both.
Well, and he's also the same guy that played Green Lantern.
Yeah. Which, you know, I had never actually watched that movie, and I'd heard it was horrible, and I actually watched it the other day, and I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it's not too bad. I thought it was okay. But they did the same thing with Captain America.
Yeah.
Chris Evans was also the Torch in the original Fantastic Four.
That's true, yeah.
So,
you kind of... It's funny because... It comes up in the movies too. They'll mention something.
Yeah,
I love to do that. You know, the Easter eggs and all that stuff. And
the Deadpool when he had the old one from the bad movie, the toy figure, and he's like, "Oh, this thing," and then he moves it, and it's wham. You know, but like that was sort of a little slight at the Wolverine Origins.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I think if Wizards did a movie, if they did it right, they could really bring in a lot of cool people. Well, I don't know if they're cool, but they could bring on a new customer base to the game and really broaden it. Because if you think about it, if you talk to anyone that you know of that's been around for like the last 20 years and you mention Magic to them, probably one in every six or seven will say they've at least heard of that or know something about it or know someone that plays it. And so there's some kind of reference there. If the Magic's that big...
Yeah, my brother used to play that. I remember he played it.
You're right. If it's so that big, why doesn't Wizards just take advantage of it and say, you know what? Let's become an entity. Not just a card game. Let's have Wizards of the Coast become an entity.
Yeah.
And have it really encompass not only just the lore, not only the cards, but let's fix MTGO. Let's fix the online thing. Let's fix how it looks. Let's make it... like Hearthstone kind of.
Let's make some friggin' movies.
And then let's put out some movies and some propaganda and some media that'll bring the people in and keep them entertained.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's what we play Magic for, is because it's fun.
Or could you imagine like a fleshed out like Magic video game? Like, that would be pretty cool.
What do you mean? Like,
if you could
choose a planeswalker?
Like an RPG.
Like Diablo.
Yeah.
Except you choose one of the planeswalkers. Yeah. Like, you could choose a Johnny or
Elspeth.
I know they're trying to do that on the board game level, but why not, like,
I did play something, and it didn't play very well. It was trying to help you learn how it, and you were like a planeswalker, and you had to take... You could only take so many steps, but it was a video game.
But why can't they do it? Why can't Wizards create a game like Diablo? Like, Diablo 3 is amazing.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that, where it's like a dungeon crawler, or... a planes crawler.
Yeah.
And you can have Jace, and Jace does things, or Chandra does things.
Or even like the Star Wars type, you know, where they take ships and go to different planets.
The new Plants vs. Zombies did that.
Right.
Yeah.
So why can't Wizards create a something different to get people into the game a different way, or introduce them to the characters a different way? So they're like, well, what's this Magic game? Okay. All right, I'm going to go buy some cards. What's this all about? Teach me. Show me. And the next thing you know,
well,
they're addicted.
Yeah,
they're tapping the vein, and they're getting ready for
it. I needed to bring up something, too, because I believe Tuesday, was that today?
Yeah.
They were doing the Learn How to Play Magic at Collectormania?
No, that's next month.
So I think next
Tuesday. That's the 29th of September.
Oh. Well, that's the EDH one.
Oh, what are you talking about?
They had something on their calendar where you could come in and they would actually teach you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, so they did those introductory decks where they're all single color 40 card decks.
I'm not sure.
Well, they're doing it like once a month now, where they'll have people come in. Like, I think Eric mainly does it. Maybe Eric and Seth. I can't remember exactly who he said, but basically, it's just an open opportunity for people to come in and learn with those decks, like you're talking about, and just be able to do one on one more or less with like somebody that actually knows how to play it to get more people
see
into it,
play it instead of watching it, because like you said, you watch the streaming,
you don't
start
know
to follow, and you're sure not going to teach anybody how to play by watching
right.
it.
Right.
No.
But something like this, our local LSG is going to do something like this, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Steve here is putting together a learning clinic for EDH.
Yeah, a commander workshop.
A commander workshop.
Which is more like we were talking about, you know, between the four of us that are basically going to run it, like it's for new players, obviously, but it's also a lot of, like, if you've got a deck that you really want, like, looked at. Because, like, before we even started the podcast, what, we spent, like, 2 hours on one of Greg's decks trying to fix it up and make it work.
Deck. Yeah.
Well, I think we built a pretty awesome Bant deck. I think that thing is insane.
Yeah.
The deck is... I would love to play that
deck. The funny thing is, they're building a deck, and we got it pretty much where we want it, and I'll go upstairs and look for other cards, and I'll bring some cards down and go, oh my god, that has to go in.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that happens. I mean, that's because there's the card pool is so broad and so huge that you can't...
If you're looking at 99 cards, and to try to just take one card and switch it out with another card, it's hard to do. It really is
very hard, because you're looking, like, when we're building Greg's deck, you know, you're looking for synergy, you're looking for things that help it accomplish what it wants to accomplish and still be somewhat resilient to everything else at the same time. Oh, and I think we really did a good job with this deck.
Yeah, I'd say.
And it brings up something someone else told me about when Infect came out.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you can't kill somebody with partial Infect and partial damage.
Yeah, yeah.
Either do one or the other, but if you try to do both, you're probably not going to win very often.
No.
So when you build something with synergy and you have a theme and an idea how you want to do that, Exalted is pretty much strong in this, and Rafik. So, you know, just make Rafik giant, protect him, and send him off, you know?
Right.
Win the game and be done.
Give him some evasion.
You have some amazing, like, other things that you're doing in the deck. So if Rafik isn't exactly working out for you, you're still making headway with other things in the deck that do exactly kind of what you're doing with Rafik.
Well, just like the Exalted Angel.
Yeah.
Or if we could find a Geist Saint Draft and put it in there.
Ooh,
I got one somewhere. I bought that new.
Oh, so you have the.
So you have the foil Geist then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe go buy another one.
Yeah, I don't even want... Like I was talking before, they're going to do away with those versus decks, so I just don't want to open any of them.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. So, all right, well, I think that'll wrap it up.
Yep.
We're at about an hour here, right?
Yeah.
So I think we've talked about enough cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
And we'll
Magic
be back.
Movie 2018.
There you go.
Or 20, or whatever
or
they need.
MTGO, or... It's a Magic video game or something. That'd
video
cool.
game that works.
Yay.
Right on,
something
man.
Cool. But we'll see you guys next week.
Yep. See
next 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we do every 2 weeks.
Yep.
Come on. Wake up.
That's right.
We're out. Bye.
Bye.